We will do a very important lesson. It's interesting. My daughter made fun of me yesterday. It wouldn't be the first time. I usually make fun of her, but okay. And she said to me, "Wait a minute." She listened. I was downstairs in the living room, and she was doing homework. She's like, "Oh my God, are you listening to yourself speak?" I was going back to old lessons from the lathe to see what, because to me, the worst thing would be is if I spoke about, right, I gave the same Dvar Torah I gave a few years ago. So first of all, it's weird. We've been doing this for four years, and I only had two of these. But one year I focused on what I'm going to focus on today. It's going to be a totally different vort, but it's the Inyan of Tefillah. Because if I was to ask you, who is the first person to ever daven, hopefully your answer would be, interestingly enough, Avraham Avinu. Why is it interesting enough? Because one could give vorts for both Adam, right? The first man, you know, does seemingly talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, he don't want to get kicked out. But certainly davening for another person, and you could even argue Noach, which is quite interesting, that Noach did not daven for the people of the Mabul, which he should have done. And in fact, I think I related, for those who are on the minute or so, the 3-minute lessons from the late every day, I related Rav Avad Yosef's beautiful idea that Noach actually did cry to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, "Why did you destroy the world? I thought you were Rachmanim, you have Rachmanus." And he said, "Well, if you would have cried before, Beloshim Tefillah, you would have cried for the people of the world, I would have probably saved them." But Avraham Avinu is the first person to actually cry, and on some behalf of stone. And what's interesting is, of these first Tefillos, he's not answered. And the Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Ches of our Parsha that the Hashem Omar Hamich Se Ani Mi Avraham Asher Ani Aseh. So he davens, knowing Hashem knows well that there's not going to be 10 people there. And he gazed down on stone while Avraham walked and escorted him. And he says, ready for this? And Hashem says, "I will conceal from Avraham what I do." So Kilo, like he doesn't know. And what will happen? The Avraham, Hayu Yi Yelagoy Gadol V'Atzum, V'Rechu Bo Kol Goyaretz. Seemingly two psukim that are not related to each other. And we have to ask a question on these psukim. He davened, quote unquote, Hashem feels bad. And it's interesting because what we learned in last week's parasha, Lech Lecha, God refers to Hashem as my love, to Avraham as my love. After he commits this amazing Mesiras Nefesh of coming to Eretz Yisrael, Sheol Bizoyche to do as well, even those listening, not just come to visit to the Waldorf Astoria. Somebody got upset. I said, "Why do you always quote the Waldorf Astoria?" Okay, to the Orient. And he does that act. Hashem now calls him my love and is meyayetz with him. He doesn't just destroy stone. What does he do? He tells him what's going on. And he davens for it. And he says, "Well, I'm concealing myself from Avraham because I'm not listening to him." And then he says, "And don't worry, Avraham is going to become a great and mighty nation. Of all the nations of the world, they will know us, the Jewish people." So the question is a pasuk to question. The question is, what does one pasuk have to do with the other? And it seemingly seems like that Hashem's tefillos were, that sorry, Avraham's tefillos were not answered at all. That's what I would think. So I saw last night a very beautiful idea, which I'll expand to you all. Rav Shlomo Levenstein is a great Maggid Shir. If you have a chance ever to go online, his stuff is on YouTube. And he has a wonderful sefer called the Matok HaOr. It's amazing because I think every parsha he's got 3 or 4 huge svarim. And he's a storyteller. He's just a very good Maggid Shir, really like a Maggid in telling stories. So he says, what happened over here? So a person should realize that Li'olam ain't fila choseres reikam. Never, ever, if you sincerely daven to Hashem, does He not answer your tefillos. Be careful with what I'm saying. I didn't say He's going to answer that tefillah, but He never, ever, ever answers the tefillah reikam. It's always stored somewhere. And he asked this question, Ma inyan Avram being concealed, Hashem not listening to his tefillos, and him becoming a goy gadol. Hello, Iker Hatam, Shegala Hashem la Avraham. Didn't he
dafka tell Avraham about Sodom? Why did he tell him about Sodom if he knew that his tefillos would not be answered anyway? Hayah kidei lehitpalel aleihem Avraham ulehatzilam v'halo yada Hashem ki lo hayu afilo asara tzadikim kidei lehitora al pnei b'zuchutam. They're not going to have the schus of being rebuilt. So why did I do this? V'im kein l'shema hitzarich lehodia halo ben kach uben kach lo tol tefillos v'klum. Beautiful idea. Says the Flemish, I don't understand. Here you're being this nice guy, and you're being, right? We've had this before, right? I've had this before. You know, you get really excited because the CEO of the company, okay, in my case, the owner of the company, says, I want to ask you, you just start your job. Imagine you just start a job as a lowly sales clerk, whatever, and the CEO of the company calls you into the office. I once had this one. It's kind of funny. One of my first jobs, I was working a company called Netophone. So I was. The CEO comes over to me. He says, "Hey, I want to get your advice on something. Can you come to my office?" I felt like $1 million. Had a little cubicle. It was really exciting. The CEO calls me in, and I realize there's a few other people were called in as well. I'm like, "Okay." So he says, "I got to speak to you guys about something that's been bothering me." I'm like, "Wow, I can't believe he's being yo-eats with me. He's asking my advice, and this is really true." The CEO was a great Talmud Chacham, Howie Balter. He says, "I don't understand this Tosfos." middle of work. And he starts going back and forth, different pshatim, then he gives a rishayim, it was wonderful. But imagine if the CEO actually asks you something, and he says, what do you think? You tell him everything, he's like, wow, that's really interesting, and he does the complete opposite. What's the point? Here he finally, like Avram said, you're my man, Ohavi, you're my love. He does all of it, he says, oh, come on, if they're 50, they're 20, and he davens his heart to content, and seemingly nothing works. So, the Magen Midubna gives a mashal. It's kind of funny, because Rav Pinkus has the mashal one way, and Rav Levenstein has the mashal the other way. It's the same mashal. The mashal is about a tailor, about a suit store that a guy goes into. I'm not sure which way you're going to like it better. I'm not sure yet in my mind which one I'm going to tell you. Maybe both. But the idea is the same. Story number one. Okay, let's do both. Story number one says Rav Pinkus, like this. Shnei b'nei Adam. Zaken v'tzayim, old man, young man. Asher nichnas yechidah, they go into a chanut shel chayat, a guy that makes suits, right? Or a suit store. Lirkosh chalifa, hazakei nato chalifa achas, the old man takes one, ne'emad mul hama'ara, mechshech sha'aruka bochein b'inyan, he's looking to see, does it fit nicely, is it going to fit me? Does it look nice? How's it going to look in the back, in the front? You know, you got all those mirrors. Hatzair lumut shalach mispar chalifot me'amadaf. Let's say there was a sale. He takes from the sale rack three really nice suits. V'nagish me'yad, and he goes right there and he says, okay, I'll take these three suits. The old man says, how can you do this? Elahachlit al bichirat chalifa. I was here for an hour looking and looking. You know, it's a suit, it's expensive. And you, 3 seconds, you take three suits off the thing. Pana zakan he says, I don't understand. What's the pshat? So he says, Pashut Mio says the Tzair. Kasher Echat Rechush Khalifa, Hanech Mit Kavein Lishtamesh Bo Miyad. You're buying it because you want to wear it. Spitz, you got your daughter's, granddaughter's wedding, whatever it is. You need a good suit for now. I understand. And therefore, you have specific Tnaim for the Khalifa. As to fit exactly now, I'm not going to say, well, you know, as does with wedding dresses. You know, generally a kala will fit her wedding dress, and she says, well, can you make this wedding dress because I'm going to be 10 pounds lighter because I'm getting married in a few months and I'm going to lose 10 pounds, right? That's the way it is. Right? A guy, what does a guy care? He gets the suit, Asher Usham. This is what I am. I'm not going to lose so much weight. Shekain im toyim ha-chalifa mitacha. I need it now. Ani lumatzois. I'm different. He says, I'm younger and these are nice suits, good price. Even if they're not good now, one day they'll be good. Right? Whatever we're talking about. Right? Some people have this in their house. They have their fat suit and their skinny suit and their middle suits. Depending on, you know, what's happened in the last, right? This is my Yom Tov suit. You know, when it's Sukkot already, I've had Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, I got to have my suit. Some people have their last days of Yom Tov suit. That's how bad it's become. My Pesach suit, whatever it is. Up and down the yo-yo. But he says, in another year, I could take this, I like the color of the suit, the suit's nice, and then I'll fit it. That's the muscle. Muscle number two, same type of thing.
Same type of idea.
The difference, as Rav Levenstein, is the following. Says, again, it's the same idea, but I want to just read you both, because I think they're both good. So he says like this. Here is the Dubna Magid's mashal according to him. The Dubna Magid says, mashal shnei b'nei adam. They go into a suit shel begadim. V'kol echad nimdois shel b'nei. Banai. Omer HaMoich, he says, I need a suit for my son. The first guy goes and he says, I like this suit. I want it for my son. And he says, I can't help you. He says, oh, my son's about this tall. He goes, I can't help you. I don't know what size your son is. You need to bring your son in. How am I going to be able to do that? The other guy, again, same type of idea, takes three suits off the rack and he says, I'll pay for these three suits. And the guy next to him says, I don't understand what's going on. He says, I'm also buying for my kids, but you don't understand the difference. I have a lot of kids. So if it doesn't fit this kid, it'll fit the other kid. It'll fit the other kid, so on and so forth. Nu, what's the mashal nimshal? So he says like this. HaKadosh Baruch HaChichlet She'ein Lit Asir Mi Avram Avinu. He says, Hashem is not going to, quote unquote, listen to him and uproot, and not uproot stone. Omnam, however, Galu V'yaduya, it's known, Galu V'yaduya Haya, Lifanav Yitbarach, She'ka Asher Yishma Avram Avinu Etz Ha'oynesh Ha'noyra Ha'sipoy La'oynesh Toim, the Amoira, who you maher la amoid, he knew that he was going to daven like crazy for this town. Vigam yadua, and Hashem also knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki tefila aso shel Avraham Avinu lo tuchal lahavir et roa gezeira. It didn't have the power. It's interesting. The next piece that Rav Pinkus has, actually, is this called the tefila b'shas melchama. There's such a thing, says Rav Pinkus, of a tefila that has so much power that it uproots the gezeira of the Rabban HaShalom. Unbelievable. Zman tefila hu zman milchama, he says. It could be like a milchama where you're fighting with so koichas, you call everyone, every shul's davening, and mamish, it works. For that specific thing. But says Rav Pinkus, the Dubna Magid is trying to get at, he knew that Avraham Avinu wouldn't be listened to. So why do you make him daven? It wouldn't happen. So why? I'll tell you why. Because Hashem says, I'm moving the tefillah to the next pasuk. The Avram, you thought you were davening for this, but I really need you to daven for the other thing. That we will be a strong nation. And we'll never be destroyed, no matter what. I don't know if anybody's been to Titus's Arch, that famous story of the Panovich Arav. Famous story about the Panovich Arav, the great Panovich Arav, who landed in Rome. He was supposed to land at 11 o'clock, and one of his Talmidim was going to pick him up, Dr. Rothschild, and there was a delay, and he got picked up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Dr. Rothschild was waiting there for him, as you can imagine, for his Rebbe, even though he was quite delayed. And guess what? It's pouring outside. So he says, I need you to do me a big favor. You can imagine Dr. Rothschild is quite tired. Everybody's tired. He says, I need you to stop at the Arch of Titus. You know what it looks like, right? That's the arch that has Bnei Yisrael leaving with the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, taking it to where it probably is today in the Vatican. A lot of them, some people say. Certainly a lot of Svarim are there. So he says, Rebbe, I can't take you to the Arch of Titus. With all due respect. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I want you to get a good night's sleep. You have a lot of meetings tomorrow. Take me to the Arch of Titus. And he says in the pouring rain, the Panovich Rav gets out of the car and he says, my name is the Panovich Rav of Kamenovich. I am a survivor of the Holocaust. Your descendants try to kill me there. You try to kill us and destroy our Beis HaMikdash. But guess what? I built a yeshiva on the hilltop of Bnei Brak when everybody laughed at me. That's actually a true story. Bnei Brak was nothing. When he said he's going to build a big yeshiva called Panovich, they thought he was crazy. And now I have, 1,000 Talmidim. And he starts screaming, 2 o'clock in the morning, where are you, Titus? Where are your descendants? Nothing. Israel? Flourishing nation. The Rebbeinu Shalom moves our tefillos to different places. We have to realize that. Call Oysan Tfiloso Shalo Yael over Stom, Yavorli De Shimush Baatid. I'm going to use it for something else. Imlo Eitzel Avram? I'm going to use it as something else. God forbid, lo aleinu, I didn't even want to say it. It's not nice to say. But if I told you right now, I don't wish anybody goes to Mekubal's. I'm not telling them to go to Mekubal. But you went to a Mekubal. And he says to you, Baruch Hashem, you have a great life. And your children, wow, they're going to have a great life. Your grandchildren, oh, your great-grandson, Nebuch. Whatever he tells you is something about your great-grandson. You need to daven right now. Oh, by the way, you'll never meet your great-grandson. It's not in the cards. Would you not daven for him like crazy? Or you'd be like, I don't even know him. Well, who would I care? You're davening now for three generations. Yes, of course you would. Afilu tefila acha, says Rav Pinkas. Oysen tefila, so say, Yishpoich lefan of Avram, lo tavo. Kol tefila kazu tishma bebeis gnizo shel kadosh baruch. Don't you dare think that one tefila, even if you daven illegally at 12:45 with the Heich Kedusha, which was not approved, even if you do that, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm going to store your tefillos. You think you were davening for one thing? I'm sorry, I can't help your grandmother. There's a gezeira for that. Sometimes he will. But there's not an. But I'm going to take that tefillah, I'm going to move it to something else. That's what he writes. I have a base geniza. The soifo, it's going to get the peiros of peiros. The yom min am yomim. One day I'm going to take that out. It's going to be a rainy day. And I'm going to take your tefillah out and I'm going to go, ah, that tefillah I'm going to use. Ein erech. I can't even explain to you the calculations of the kamut hashefa, hasata dishmaya, bishmir of the hatzala, asher yitakein lahem, binov shel Avram Avinu, bischus tefillah. The tefillah of stone helped us out so much, maybe even till today, and maybe that's why we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, magain Avraham, not magain Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And that's why he revealed it to him, because he wanted him just to daven. We make a huge mistake when we daven. We think, you know what we think tefillah is? Tefillah is, turn around, they think it's the vending machine in back of you. Back in the day, the vending machine used to be somewhere else. I don't even know if anybody uses it. What do I mean? We think that we're vending machine Jews. What does vending machine Jews mean, my Rabbi Isai? A vending machine Jew is someone who thinks that he puts something in and it comes out right away. I put in 5 shekel and I get my apropos. I get my whatever. But I say that tefillah is this vending machine. You put 5 shekel in the vending machine and you want your apropos or you want your whatever, your Doritos. And guess what? It goes around and stops and doesn't come out. That's tefillah. Maybe your 5 shekels is now going to be for the next guy. Achosha Mishpachir, can he take 2? No, it's being saved up. Why do you think it's for that? I'm sorry to give you this stark example. I apologize to people that are listening. It's not a good example. But imagine that you're davening. This is a Shana Aleph example, so I apologize to Shana Bet as well for this. But you daven to Rabbeinu Shalom on a Tuesday night. The Rebbeinu Shalom should help you. And you daven at Mincha. I don't know why you're at Mincha, but you're at Mincha. Shana Aleph. And you daven to Rebbeinu Shalom. You say, Hashem, please help me. My girlfriend is becoming frum. She goes to so-and-so seminary. She's becoming frum. And she no longer wants to fill in the blank. Please, Hashem, help me. Do you think Hashem's going to listen to it to feel like that? She shouldn't go on the path of Torah Mitzvahs? But you know what? I promise you, he will move the tefillah somewhere else. Because you don't understand yet the importance of being Shomer Negiyah. We have to understand that tefillah shalanu nigeres v'beis kinizo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'soifu l'yishar prey alayla. And in fact, that's probably the most important part of understanding tefillah. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. I daven for grandma. Grandma has to be well. If she's not, then I'm not davening anymore. And it can't be that I wake up in the morning and say, I have nothing to daven for, Baruch Hashem, everything's amazing. I'm having the greatest year of my life. I don't need to daven to you. And therefore what? Therefore I'm done. I don't have to daven today. No, save up your tefillos. You don't know what you're leaning for. And you don't even know the things that are going on. Maybe chas v'sholom, lo aleinu. Chas v'sholom, your parents aren't telling you about something going on in your house because you're not there. They don't want to upset you. So you don't even know what you're davening for. Yishtamesh b'vaday, says Rav Pinchas, halo b'chdei l'hashbi'a aleinu, shefa shel bracha v'yatzlacha, at the right time. He tells the story of his mother-in-law, HaRabbanit Man Olav HaShalom. You have no idea what we did to daven for, he writes. The power of the tefillah. La'achar nituach, unfortunately, she had a very serious brain surgery, avda, and unfortunately it didn't go well. And she lost consciousness. She was on respirators, v'chulu, v'chulu, and we davened and pulled out the tefillahs from every yeshiva they were davening for her. And it didn't work. She died a few days later. V'ke'en yecholim anu l'toyen, we could say l'hasbir, we could make the mistake and say, that's called tefillahs reikam. Unanswered tefillahs. No. No way. Ha'emesi mikol oisin tefillos lo avda afilu achas. That little kid that was davening for the rabbanit, he didn't even know who she was. But in the cheder, they told him to daven for her. His tefillah also worked, but maybe for something else. That's Amcha Beis Yisrael. Maybe it worked for refuah for somebody else. I don't even know. That's what we have to know. Aleinu ladas ki tefillaseinu upedet b'to oisir hatoiv. It's stored in a storehouse. Finally, he says it's similar to someone who owns a huge farm of wheat. And it's time to cut the wheat. And he says to himself, well, I don't need all the wheat now, so I'm just going to cut what I need. That person would be a fool, because after a few weeks, the wheat is going to become bad. I had this huge tree, Baruch Hashem. This year was a bumper crop. I had a clementine tree, which for years didn't have any clementine. And I said, I get what I deserve, because Ahmed was the one who planted it, and it probably wasn't even a clementine tree. And finally, I got every year like 3 or 4 clementines. This year, hundreds of clementines. So you know what happens? They're green. When they become orange, what start happening? They start falling off themselves, and you're done. You can't use them. So I picked all of them. I don't need all of them. So what do? We gave it out to people. But here, what do? With them? You take all of the wheat. You cut it all, and you have a storehouse. You got to have a storehouse. Because if you don't have a storehouse, they're going to rot, and it's not going to be good wheat. Says Rav Pinchas, that's what you need. You daven every day because you don't know what you need. You think you know yourself, things don't go on in your family, think you know what's cloudy, so that's what tefillah is. I pointed out before, but the idea of lehit palel is interesting because it's not what we think. English, the word for is called prayer. What's the emoji for prayer? Someone show me the emoji for prayer. Right, what does this mean? To beg. Prayer in Latin is to beg. We're not begging God for something. That's not what tefillah is. It's such a difficult term. It's so incorrect. We don't beg Hashem, please don't do this, and we think Yom Kippur is all about, no, don't kill me this year. No, that's not what it's about. Rabbeisai, it's such a terrible thing to think that. Lehit palel is like the lashon of lehit labesh. I'm doing something to myself. What does that mean? I'm doing something to better myself. I'm making myself into a better individual that shows I'm reliant on you, Hashem, and only you. I don't even know what I need. I don't even know if this is good for me now. I'm asking you to do a refuah for my grandmother. Maybe that's not the right thing. But I'm davening for it because I know you'll move my tefillah to the right place. I've heard this a few times, mamish, from Racheli Frankel. She says that when they had the Otzar tefillah at the Kotel, over 100,000 people there, davening. Most powerful, powerful tefillahs. She said she was walking away. 3 boys, of course, were kidnapped. And she heard a bunch of little boys say, wow, that was the most amazing thing I've ever been at. I think we did it. Kacha, they said. I think we did it. There's no way Hashem won't listen to our tefillahs now. I mean, come on. And she said she felt so bad. And she turned to them. This is her son. Was kidnapped. And she says to the boys, Hashem never says no. Never says no. But sometimes he says no to this tefillah. What you asked for was not in the cards. In fact, when they were davening, the boys were already not alive. Nobody knew that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're not smarter than Hashem, but I promise you that if you believe in the power of your tefillah, and not just 3 times a day, they make a mistake thinking that there's only 3 times a day. Tefillah is all the time. You're in the car, and you say, oh God, I'm running so late. Hashem, please let me find a parking space. That's tefillah. That's a great form of tefillah. You have a delicious lunch, and you say to Hashem, you are going to make a birchas. You do everything. Wow, it's delicious. And then you go to the lady and you say, thank you, hakaras hatoyev. That's a form of tefillah. Thank you. Thank you, Hashem, for this great meal. Thank you, Hashem. We should be davening all the time, talking to Hashem all the time. We go to the doctor. Before the doctor, we say a perikatel, and we daven to Hashem all the time. We should be zaycha to understand the power of a tefillah, and that no tefillah is ever not answered. And if we are sincere, the Rabbanu Shalom will move our tefillahs to the most sincere place. And Amir Tzashem, he will understand our ultimate tefillahs to be together with him in the Beis HaMikdash. The Bias, Binyan Goyel Tzedek, Meheru V'Yamenu, Amen V'Yamen.